Good morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. I'm going to be releasing this on Sunday, October the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2023. So let's get a little prayer in for the Sunday. So, a collect for the strength to await Christ's return. O God, our King, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week, you conquered sin, put death to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory. Forgive us our sins, banish our fears, make us bold to praise you and to do your will, and steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so we're on question 210. What is evil? So question 210, what is evil? Answer: evil is the willful. Evil is the willful perversion of God's will. Evil defies God's holiness, violates His law, enslaves us to sin, and mars His good creation. So, question 210, what is evil? Pretty straightforward question, right? What is evil? Evil is the willful perversion. I can't say that word this morning for some reason. Sorry. Evil is the willful perversion of God's will. Evil defies God's holiness, violates His law, enslaves us to sin, and mars His good creation. All right. There's a lot of scripture here. So let's go through all the scripture. First is three sections from Genesis. So Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth your children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread, till you return to the ground out of which you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Next is Genesis 4, 1-8. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. Next is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the world, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The next is from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10-19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, and we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your feet from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. The next is from Isaiah 59, verses 4-13. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They reply on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies. And from one that is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. The next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, conceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." And the final scriptural reference is from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 4. "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question 210, what is evil? What is evil? What is this thing we talk about? Evilness. Evil is the willful perversion of God's will. Evil defies God's holiness, violates his law, enslaves us to sin, and mars his good creation. So, working backwards, we were a good creation, as you see in that scripture in Genesis. There's this perversion of things as we decide to not do what God told us to do. He told us to not eat of one tree in the garden. It's literally one rule, and we couldn't keep it. One rule. Okay, it's not funny, but it's funny. Like, you can say this life is hard, but, you know, it seems that even one rule was too much. So, but let's I'm going to turn to Chrysostom here. Is it Chrysostom or is it Augustine? It's Augustine, sorry, Augustine. "But it is more truly said, pride is the beginning of all sin, for it was this sin that overthrew the devil, for from whom arose the origin of sin, and who, through subsequent envy, overturned the man who was standing in the righteousness from which he had fallen. For the serpent, seeking a way to enter, clearly sought the door of pride when he declared, 'You shall be as gods.'" Here ends the reading. So it's this covetousness, right? It's this desire to be like God, as if God's holding back something. I mean, we all yearn for the... It's funny, we'll make references to, you know, it's like a Garden of Eden, like the perfection of things. We all yearn to be back there, and yet... In Adam and Eve, we all would have been kicked out. It's not like any of us wouldn't have been kicked out. We all would have been kicked out. We would have all fallen for this. Right? The desired, this suspicion that God is holding out on us is how I've heard other people speak of this. Is this, you know, why isn't he letting us have this one thing? Because it was good that we didn't have the one thing. We don't have the wisdom of God. We thought knowing good and evil would be wisdom, but that's not wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what is good and what is evil, and knowing how to choose that which is good, which can be really complicated as you read Proverbs. You know, there's this this discussion with his son, right? Don't follow after those who lie in wait for blood. And there's this section, let's see. "We shall fill our husband, throw in your lot with us, and we all have one purse." And I almost chuckle at that, because these are people, if you're throwing your lot with evil men, why do you think they're going to be honest when they say we will all have one purse? You know, there's a, is it Batman Begins, where, you know, as there's this bank robbery that the Joker's running, and they keep killing each other so that they each will have a larger share of the purse, right? Why? Because they're evil men with evil intention. You can't trust that you'll just have one purse with all of them. That's absurd. But that's sort of, you know, that's an indication of the innocence of somebody who gets sucked into this, right? That they would imagine that these people are actually being honest about their dishonesty. But that's something somebody young and naive, that's a mistake they would make. And of course, that's why it's a admonition to a son. Look, they're not really going to throw in one purse, right? They're going to stab you in the back the first chance they get to take your money. Because they're going to take other people's money, they're going to take your money. So, and all of them have a marker on their backs. I mean, there's the riding the tiger, right? Anybody who's a dictator rides the tiger, right? If you can't get off the tiger because the tiger will eat you, right? You're riding something that's death. So running in with other evil people eventually gets somebody killed because they're all evil. They're intent on having it for themselves. You know, there is no honor among thieves. So this is this discussion of what is evil, right? Evil is to turn against the good. And what is the good? God is good. So it's a turning against God. It's a sin. It's sinning against these things to commit sin, to separate yourself from that which God has instructed you to do. So, and then there's this great section in Isaiah, which is that nobody has perfect. Nobody's without some sort of guile. This is that, you know, it's this, they all conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. You know, whether the secret desires of all of our hearts, right? You know, I can admit I do this podcast because one of the things I did, I thought I would maybe, it would bring attention to myself with the leaders of my church, thinking maybe I'd, you know, they want me to go into holy orders. But that turned out to be folly, which it's fine. All right. So God used the sort of evil intention of, maybe not the evil intention, the pride of my heart to end up doing something that, like I said when I started this, I might be teaching the catechism, or not sure if I'm teaching the catechism so much as just sort of working through it. At the same time, I'm catechizing myself as I work through the catechism. You know, it's a didactic process. I am instructing myself even as I'm reading it to you, and you feel instructed from the catechism. I am also being instructed as I teach from the catechism. And I hope by doing at least somewhat, somewhat well. So, Mark 7. Boy, it's interesting how you'll hear people refer to Paul talking about the different sins, but here's Jesus himself in Mark 7, 20-23. You know, for what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So here's the Venerable Bede. This is an answer to those who consider that evil thoughts are simply injected by the devil, and that they do not spring from our own will. He can add strength to our bad thoughts and inflame them, but he cannot originate them. Here ends the reading. So, yeah. Cannot. So, it's, you are the originator, right? We each are the originator of our own evil thoughts. Now, the devil, like Bede is saying, can warm them up. But those really do come from within us. We can't blame the devil. He's just working with material Like, he's not a creator. And God himself is the only one who can actually create. So out of nothingness, right? We procreate, meaning we take material which already exists and put it together, which then creates life, right? But that's all material that's there. You know, it doesn't just spring forth out of a woman's belly. It takes time to gestate. She eats and the body puts together the body. Our evil thoughts arise from within us, and we feed them and give them life. The devil, of course, can help that along, but we do pretty well just on our own. I know, as I've had bad days and contemplated vengeance, nothing serious. I'm just talking, you know, sort of the petty vengeance against bosses and stuff who feel like they're ruining our lives sometimes. And it's mostly just that we don't want to work on something difficult. Just the fact that it's the nature of the job, right? The task that you have is the nature of the job. It's why you work. It's why you get paid to do the job. You have competing priorities and such. But these ideas spring from within us, right? These are things that we generate. So the evil... let me finish up then with John. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So in the practice of sin, we are being lawless. We are being evil. We are violating God's law. We're perverting his will. We're defying the holiness of God, and we're enslaving ourselves to sin. We have become subject to sin. It has mastered us when we allow it to rule over us. Better to have the rule of God, the rule of Christ, than to be subject to evil and the destructive power therein. This seems about a good length for that discussion. It's kind of heavy. And we get into some better discussions here as we move along. I think we all know deep down the evil which we're capable of, as much as we would like to not admit it. It's easier, especially in public, to sort of, you know, talk about some lesser sins. But I do encourage you to go to confession, to use those things which are given to the church, to go to your clergy, to go to your priests, confess and receive absolution, because it's good for us to confess our sins. I want to thank you for listening. If you had a feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. There's a link on the website in the show notes to be able to go donate to buy me a cup of coffee. Would help defer some of the costs of maintaining this website and various equipment and such. And that's mostly what I'm looking for out of the donations, is to be able to defray some of the costs of doing all this. But I'll keep doing it anyway. But maybe some other projects, maybe some upgrade to equipment. And I do at some point need to actually move the podcast to a different location, because the WordPress one will not be big enough to hold all the episodes. There's a certain limit on the number of episodes that will hold in the ESS. So, again, thank you for listening. Let's see if we can find a nice prayer to end this off with. I read that. So let's do the collect of the day for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Set us free, loving Father, from the bondage of our sins, and in your goodness and mercy, give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.